Good afternoon to one and all. Our message series is called Real Answers About Heaven, and we are looking at what the Bible tells us about various aspects of heaven. Excuse me for my voice. Last week we learned that when you die in Christ, your body goes in the ground, where your spirit immediately goes to be with God in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with Christ, which is far better. The first part of heaven is the best part of heaven because we will be with Jesus. And now some people think that is all there is to heaven. But as we said last week, wait, there's more. And that more is the resurrection of the body. Let me begin by asking you a question. Are you interested in having a new body? If the diet, nutrition, and exercise industries are any indications, the answer is a clear yes. We spend a lot of time on our bodies, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. The Bible tells us that we should be good stewards of our bodies, which means we should work on personal fitness and be careful of what we eat. But some of us put way too much emphasis and spend way too much time on our bodies. The good news is, even if you never get the new body you have been hoping for in this life, God is going to take care of it in the next life. Now, are you tired of getting tired? Are you sick of getting sick? Is getting older getting old to you? Then today's message is for you. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits of our resurrection. Because Christ was raised, we will be raised as well. You are going to get your new body. And we are going to look at three simple but important questions this afternoon about your new resurrection body. Number one, when would you get your new body? Number two, what will your new body be like? And number three, why will we get a new body? So let's get started. First of all, when will you get your new body? The simple answer is when Christ returns. The Bible is very clear on this. The Bible says that you will receive your new body when Christ returns. When Jesus spoke about the resurrection of the body, he said in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, he says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." So not only the good people, the Christians, will be raised again, but also the non-Christians, the evil people. Okay, I should say the non-Christians, because not all non-Christians are evil people. When will the believers who die hear Christ's voice and come out of their graves when Christ returns? We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. "For if we believe that Christ died and rose again, even so then also, which sleep in Christ Jesus, will God bring with them." notice the connection in this verse between Jesus' resurrection and ours. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that we also will rise from the dead. Now, when you put your faith in Christ, you are united with Him, with Christ Jesus, and you share in both His death and His resurrection. Last week, we learned that when you die as a believer, you immediately go to be with God in heaven. You do not go to some kind of purgatory, the halfway house at the place of torment. And also you do not go into some sort of deep soul sleep. Those concepts are not found in the Bible. Your body goes into the ground, but your spirit immediately goes to be with God in paradise. But wait, there's more. Because then we learn that this stage of heaven is only temporary. We still await the resurrection of the body. And as good as it is to be with Christ apart from the body, it will be even better to be with Christ in your glorified body. And how would this happen? We also mentioned last Sunday that when Christ returns, the dead in Christ, or those who slept, will rise again. And those that remain or still alive will be caught up and meet Him in the clouds. We call it rapture. And indeed, as many people say, it is the next great event in the Christian calendar. I'm sure many of you would agree with me. Now, let's get a detailed look of what will happen from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15-17. I read, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now those which remain and unto the coming of the Lord are you and me. If Christ returns today, we will be those who remain unto the coming of the Lord. And those who are asleep refers to those who die before the second coming, those who die in Christ. Now, verse 16. "For the Lord Himself shall come, and for this we say unto the by the Lord," and verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ again are those Christians who die before the second coming. And then in verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In other words, when Jesus returns, He will bring with those who have fallen asleep in Him, and their bodies will be resurrected first. Then after they receive their resurrected bodies, those of us who are still alive, you and me, because Christ has not returned yet, right? Those who are still alive at Christ's coming will be caught up with them. And that's when we will receive our resurrected bodies. How soon the transformation is going to occur, do you ask? Or how quickly Will we get our new bodies when Christ returns? You might be wondering, right? Now the Word of God says we will all be changed. Now get this, in a twinkling of an eye. How long is a twinkling of an eye? A twinkling of an eye is when you blink. How much time does it take for you to blink? Well, in an instant. So this is not some long, drawn-out process. The Bible tells us that we will all be changed in an instant. Just like that. All right? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all asleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. How wonderful is that? We will not all sleep. That is, we will not all die. Right? You're still alive. If Christ comes back today, you will be caught up in the clouds, and your bodies will be transformed. So some of us will still be alive in Christ's returns, obviously, right? And we will not all sleep, but we all be changed. And it's going to happen fast, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how quickly God will transform our bodies and your body at the resurrection. So let us have a little review. When will you receive your new body? When Christ returns. Whether you are already dead, which you are not, or alive when Christ returns, the answer is the same. The dead shall rise first, and then you, who still remain alive, will be caught up in the clouds and shall be with Jesus forever and ever. So look at this chart here. There is an order of the resurrection, right? But it won't be a lot of difference because you curse one after another, all right? The dead in Christ shall rise, and then those which remain shall also raised. Alright? So the dead in Christ, and then those who are still alive, be caught up with Him. We will all be changed in an instant. Now, let's move on with our second question. What will your new body be like? And the Bible tells us a number of things about your new body. Can you turn on the light? Firstly, it will be the same body, but different. Well, I believe it's not going to be a completely different body than what you have right now. It will be the same body you have now, but different, but glorified. For example, we read these amazing words from Job, in Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." And also when the Bible says that you are going to get a new body, it does not mean something completely different or unrelated to your present body. It is this body, the same body, but glorified. So rather, it is a new in the sense that it will be changed. are transformed, are glorified. And so when the Bible says you are going to get a new body, it will be a glorified body, transformed and changed. So how will God do this? That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 37, and then verse 42. I read, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Verse 37, thou sowest not the body. Now Paul gives us illustrations on how it would work. In verse 37, thou, you sowest not the body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance of grain, wheat, and of some other grain. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, Paul here compares your body, your old body, to a seed, and your new body to the plant that grows out of the seed. Once again, it is the same, but different. There is both continuity and discontinuity between the seed and the plant. Now, you don't have to be a farmer to know that wheat comes from a wheat seed and grain comes from a grain seed. Likewise, your new body will come from the seed of your old body. It will still be you. It will not be completely different, right? If you're David, right, you won't be Steve when you glorify him, when you get your new body, okay? It will be you still, but different. Just like the wheat plant is still wheat, but different from the wheat seed. The same body that we went into the grave, if you die, will come out of the grave. The same number of bodies that die will be raised. As John Wesley wrote in his sermon about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, I quote, the plain notion of a resurrection requires that the self-same body, this body that died, should rise again. By the way, I'm going to be quoting John Wesley quite a bit in this sermon. And some people strongly object cremation, which is burning of the body after you die and burn into ashes. And they say, how will God resurrect my body or their body if I am cremated when I die? Now, I respect their position, and personally, I would prefer cremation and would encourage anyone to do so. However, let's hear what John Wesley says about the resurrection of the body. I quote, all the parts into which man's body are dissolved, however, they seem to us carelessly scatter over the face of the earth, and yet carefully laid up by God's wise disposal till the day of the resurrection of all things. God, he said, can form this dust, so gathered together into the same body it was before, and that it is possible all must own who believes that God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. Unquote. Now in his sermon, Wesley compares God to a master watchmaker, keeping track of his all the parts of the watch. You know, if you take apart something, make sure you keep all the parts. If you are a good watchmaker or a good inventor, Right? God didn't have any trouble, by the way, putting you together the first time. And he won't have any trouble putting you back together the second time. While you may disagree with Wesley, and though personally I do prefer burial than cremation, but ultimately I believe it is a matter of conscience, individual conscience and personal choice when it comes to whether you want to do burial or cremation. I believe God can restore your body no matter how your body was destroyed or dissolved. So what will your new body be like? First of all, it will be the same body, but different. Which of course raises the question, how will it be different? How? There's a sort of answer, there's a short answer to that, and a long answer to that, right? Now, there will be four major differences. Let us look at each of these four differences in more detail. Again, let me quote John Wesley about our current bodies before we do so. Of how many parts of our body consist, and if one of these be disordered, the whole man suffers. Nay, when our bodies are at their best, what pains do we take to answer their necessities, to provide for their sustenance, to preserve them in health, and what time we can spare from our body is taken up in rest and refreshing our jaded bodies and fitting them for work again. Now, basically, our bodies are unreliable, so they are subject to sickness and decay. They are full of all sorts of aches and pains, and eventually they die. But not your new body. Your new body will never die. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Your new body, first of all, will never die. And you will never die again. You will never experience all those things that go along with aging and dying. Quoting from John Wesley again, we shall all enjoy uninterrupted health, both of body and mind. We shall be eased of all the troublesome care of our bodies, which now takes up so much of our time and thoughts. So the first difference is that our old body is perishable. But I tell you what, your new body will be imperishable. You will never die. You will never experience death again. That's the first difference. And the second difference is that your old body is dishonorable, but your new body will be glorious. Now, dishonor has to do with embarrassment, hiding and shame. Let's face it, all of us struggle with a certain amount of shame when it comes to our bodies. Now, even the supermodels and actors and actresses that you see on the magazine and silver screen feel insecure about your bodies. They're never happy. They were never perfectly happy about their bodies. There are things about our bodies we don't like, that we would change if we could. That's why a lot of people are getting their plastic surgeries or cosmetic surgeries. You know, they're not happy about their face or whatever. They're never content because it is not perfect, right? I'm not suggesting that you should go do a cosmetic surgery if you don't like your face, okay? I'm just saying that people are not content with their physical appearance. Now, even for those of us who are perfectly happy, I'm sure you're one of them. I hope so. Even for those who are perfectly happy with our bodies right now, age and illness can still take it all away. And how many people on their sick beds have said, "I don't want people to see me like this." There is little dignity in sickness or sufferings or dying. Though we are all made in the image of God, having been corrupted by sin, our old bodies is dishonorable. But your new body will be glorious. And the word glory has to do with praise and honor and brightness and light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." As Moses' face shone in the tabernacle, as Jesus' body was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, so your new body will shine with glory and honor in God's presence. There will be no more hiding. There will be no more embarrassment. There will be no more shame. You will be perfectly happy with your new body, perfectly satisfied, perfectly comfortable in your new skin. All right? For those of you who are not content with your skin, as John Wesley says, I quote, "This excellency of our heavenly bodies will probably arise in great measure from the happiness of our souls, the unspeakable joy that we then shall feel will break through our bodies and shine forth in our countenances as the joy of the soul, even in this life, has some influence upon the countenance by rendering it is more open and cheerful." So Solomon tells us, he said, "A man's wisdom makes his face to shine," unquote. So recap. So the first difference is that your old body that is so imperishable, your new body will be raised imperishable. The second difference is that your old body is dishonorable, but your new body will be glorious. And the third difference is this: your old body is weak, while your new body will be powerful. Do you ever feel tired? Maybe you have trouble sleeping at night, reading too much, which means you have trouble focusing during the day. Do you ever feel worn out at the end of the day? Any aches and pains in your body? How's your eyesight? How's your hearing? Now, unfortunately, I have begun to experience some of these symptoms myself. I am starting to feel that my body is not as strong or young as it used to be, right? Compared when I am only 21. It was 24 years ago. I'm not going to tell you what physical problems I have. But when I went to the doctor last year, my doctor told me that your body is in a bad shape. Okay, that's all I can tell you. But these are problems that we experience with our current physical bodies. Our old bodies are weak, but your new body will be powerful. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God gives us some of that strength even right now in this life. Do you realize? But the strength will be perfected in your new body. We are used to our bodies getting weaker over time, but not your new resurrection body. That's the third difference. So the first difference is that your old body that was sown imperishable, your new body will be raised imperishable. The second difference is that your old body is dishonorable, but your new body will be glorious. The third difference is that your old body is weak, while your new body will be powerful. And then finally, number four, your old body is a natural body, while your new body will be a spiritual body. Now this, it is probably the most misunderstood of the four differences. A lot of people get confused on this one because they think that the word spiritual is the opposite of physical. So when I say, well, you get a spiritual body, it means, oh, okay, I won't have a body then. I will be a spirit. No, no. And so that's what they thought. But Paul talks about a spiritual body that he is talking about. When he's talking about a spiritual body, he's talking about a non-physical body. That we will be some sort of, he's not talking about we will be some sort of spirit and not having a body. But of course, it doesn't make sense. Because throughout this chapter in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul has been talking about an actual physical resurrection. And the key to understanding this is to realize that Paul does not contest spiritual with physical here, but rather with natural. He does not say that the old body is physical and the new body is spiritual. Rather, the old body is a natural body, and then the new body is spiritual. Now, what does that even mean, the natural versus the spiritual? Now, what he means is this. Your old body, but it's your natural body, is dominated by your old nature. That's what Paul means by a natural body. He is talking about your sin nature, which we all have. We are all born with a sin nature. And that sinful nature resides where? In your body. In your flesh. And that sinful nature makes you subject to all sorts of sinful desires that your body gives in to again and again and again. Every single day. Now, when you become a Christian, you gain a certain level of victory over the sinful nature. But because you still have a natural body, you are still constantly dealing with bodily temptations and struggling with bodily temptations. That's why Paul said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My spirit is willing to do what is good, but my flesh is weak. It tempts me to do what is wrong or evil or sinful. That's our present state, by the way. But I have got some good news for you. One day, your new body won't be like that anymore. Your new body will be a spiritual body. That is, it will be completely controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because the influence of sin will be completely eradicated, removed. there will be no more sin. You will no longer be fighting your body to obey God, but always and forever be willing to love Him and obey Him. Instead of the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, it will be the spirit is willing and the body is willing as well. We read about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelt in you, which it does, I'm speaking to you, all Christians, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. What is Romans 8 saying? When you become a Christian, your spirit is alive, but you still have your old body. But when you are resurrected in glory, God will give new life also to your body through the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that you will no longer struggle with the sin nature in heaven because there's no more sin. You will be perfected in Christ and given a new spiritual body instead of the old nature, natural body you struggle with right now. So how will your new body be different from your old body? The first difference is that your old body that is sown imperishable, your new body will be raised imperishable. The second difference is that your old body is dishonorable, but your new body will be glorious. The third difference is that your old body is weak, while your new body will be powerful. The fourth and final difference is that your old body is natural and the new body is spiritual, which means you will be perfected in Christ and be given a new spiritual body instead of the old natural body. You will no longer struggle with fight and temptations. How wonderful that would be. Again, what will your new body be like? Given you a long answer with four differences, now I'm going to give you the short answer. Your new body will be like Jesus. You will be like his resurrected body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21 says, "For our conversation, our conduct is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, ugly, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We also read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Wow, we shall be like him. Based on these verses, we see that Jesus' resurrected body was the same, but different. It was the same body that came out of the grave, but transformed. It was still a physical body with a physical properties. Firstly, his disciples could physically touch him. Remember? That happens in the Bible, in John chapter 20 and 21. Secondly, Jesus ate food with disciples. That happens in John 21. You can go back and you can go and read on your own. So Jesus ate food with disciples. Well, I presume that when you go to heaven, if there's something to eat, you can eat. All right. Thirdly, for some reason, sometimes the disciples recognize him and sometimes they don't, right? And fourthly, this new body had new properties, new abilities. He could appear and disappear at will, and seems to be able to pass through walls. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he suddenly appears in the midst of them. Peace be unto you. Well, the door was closed, the window was closed. How did he get in? All right. So how will your new body be? It will be the same body, but different. There will be four major differences. It will be imperishable. It will be powerful. It will be you will be spiritual, and you will be glorious. And your new body will be like Jesus' resurrection body. Now, finally, this answers this question. Why? Why will you get a new body? Or why will we get a new body? For what? The Bible gives us three reasons for that, and after that I'm done. First of all, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot go to heaven with this body. With this body. Yeah. No. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God with this body. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 says, now this I say, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So our body needs to be incorruptible. All these verses tells us that you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And you cannot inherit the kingdom of God unless you are resurrected with a new body. We cannot live with God in this old bodies of sin. But your new body will be perfected, suited, and adapted for living in a new heaven and new earth. So, that's the first reason why we get our new bodies. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The second reason is this. Our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. It is good. Now, we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything God made is very good. And God will not abandon his good creation. And yes, that includes the creation of men and women. Men from the dust of the ground. And women from the rib of the man. And they are both physical beings. And God said they are very good. We read in Romans 8, verses 20 to 21. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, all physical bodies are part of God's creation, and good creation. And so that God will give us new bodies as part of his new creation, with the bondage of corruption is lifted. So why will we get a new body? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Secondly, our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. And then finally, that's my very last point, sin and death must be completely defeated. We read in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Right? All men must die because of sin. Because of that, because what? Because the wages of sin is death. You work for it. And physical death means the separation of your spirit from your body. But I tell you what, eternal death, which is a second death, means eternal separation of your body and spirit from God. And just now I said not only the saved will be resurrected, but even the unsaved will be raised back to life with a body. And, do you want to know? Be thrown into the lake of fire and be eternally separated from God. Now, imagine if there were no resurrection, if your spirit just went to be with God in heaven when you die, then in the sense that death would continue, right? Because your body is still in the ground, in the grave. In fact, by definition, you will still be dead. The body is still in the ground, in the grave. Your spirit will be alive in God's presence, but your body will still be dead. If the intermediate state is the final state, right? If we don't get a new body, a glorified body, then sin and death are not truly defeated. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, he says, "This corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So why will you get a new body? Because first of all, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, my friends. Secondly, the physical bodies are part of God's creation, good creation. And thirdly, sin and death must be completely defeated. And Jesus Christ hath defeated death in his resurrection. And you too, if you trust Jesus Christ today, you can defeat death as well in victory. In conclusion, when will you get your new body? When Christ returns. What will your new body be like? Will you be the same body, but different? You will be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. And you will be a body likened to Christ. Why will we get a new body? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Because our physical bodies are part of God's good creation. And because sin and death must be completely defeated. When Christ returns, my friend, the dead in Christ, or those who slept, will rise again. And those that remain, us, will be caught up and meet him in the clouds. If you are in Christ, and if you are a child of God, the aches and pains you experience right now are only temporary. Whether they be back pains, hip pains, knee pains, arthritis, rheumatism, heart disease, lung disease. So as your emotional and mental pains will all be gone. So my encouragement to you is, when your body lets you down in this life, which it often does, don't get discouraged. Be patient and wait in hope, because you are getting a new body that is incorruptible and glorious and imperishable and powerful. And it's going to be amazing. Let us pray.